optical links is to face the increasing need of global broadband internet coverage, and also for data transmission from scientific and defense payload, because we are putting in satellite high resolution instrument, but we need to bring back the data to the ground. So it's not working. Yeah. So we need high data rate transmission. And what I mean by high data rate, it's around 100 gigabit per second and more terabit per second, or 10 terabit per second if possible. And to do that, we will use optical frequency, because optical frequency are inherently higher than radio frequencies. Also to use the directivity of laser to make the link safer. And to do that, there is already some technologies on fiber optic networks that use massively phase modulation and coherent detection to reach those high data rates. And I think my seminar is a bit different of what you are used to. So I made some reminder about amplitude and phase modulation. So the simplest way to do modulation to transmit some data is to use amplitude modulation. So to encode the information on the amplitude of the wave. So due to that, we use an optical carrier in the infrared, and we add some modulation at 10 gigahertz, for example, so 0 and 1. And with these two, we obtain a modulation in power. So when I transmit a 0, I send 0 power. And when I transmit a 1, I transmit some power. So it's the simplest way to do. It's called on-off keying, because I turn on and off the light to transmit some information. To detect this kind of signal, I can use direct detection with quadrature detectors. But this method is data rate and sensibility limited, because we are only using the amplitude, and we can use another degree of freedom, we can use the phase. And so if I encode the information on the phase, the simplest way to do it is to put a constant power encode on two states of the phase, 0 and pi, to code 0 byte and 1 byte. So a way to see that is to use a constellation. And on this, we have on the x-axis the real part, and on the y-axis the imaginary part of the signal. So I put a constant amplitude on the unitary circle, and a 0 phase for 0 and a pi phase for the 1. So in my presentation, I will only talk about this simple binary phase shift keying modulation, where I call these two states. But we can use more complex modulation, such as QPSK, where there is 2 bytes each time, 0, 0, and with 4 states of the phase. And we can use 8QAM, which use amplitude and phase modulation. But we understand that to decode this kind of modulation, to detect it, we need amplitude and phase detection, and this is called coherent detection. So I will not go very far on this coherent detection, but just to illustrate, coherent detection is when we take an optical communication signal and when we couple it with a local oscillator. So here I use what is called intradyne detection, where the frequency of the optical signal bearing the information is close to the frequency of the laser, which is a local oscillator. And we can detect a signal proportional to this formula, where on the phase I have my modulated symbol here. So this is the phase carrying the information. Here, there is a multiplication of the two signal and local oscillator power. And there is this term, which represents the difference between the two frequencies. And the goal here will be to recover the information on the phase about the data, despite the fluctuation here on the power, and to erase this information of phase to recover the data here. So on this part, what I said is that, okay, we can use more complex modulation format using phase modulation and coherent detection. We achieve a higher sensitivity than with intensity modulation, but it's more complex. And we need accurate phase synchronization. So we need to erase this term to recover the phase carrying the data. So how to design a ground receiver? So I made some hypotheses on my PhD to design the ground receiver. So I have a satellite transmitting 0 and 1 bits, and on the ground, I want to recover this information. So on my receiver, I will put an adaptive optic system to compensate for the propagation through atmospheric turbulence. After, there is a coherent optical detection with the laser, which is a local oscillator. And I will make the hypothesis that after that, all the correction will be with a digital signal. So there is an analog to digital converter, and after, all the recovery will be in with digital signal processing, as it is done already for fiber network, for the ground networks for internet. So here I put back my equation, and I will talk about all the perturbation that I will encounter with this scheme. First, there will be detection noise because we are detecting an optical signal. So I have an additive term here. And we have also phase noise because of the laser in the emitter and on the local oscillator. Here I represent an example of a time series of the laser phase noise. And it will be a term here that I will have also to compensate to recover the phase modulation. And also we have a turbulent phase noise due to the fluctuation of the phase due to the propagation through atmospheric turbulence. We also have a frequency mismatch because the frequency in the emitter and the local oscillator is not exactly the same here, as I told before, but also because the frequency on the emitter can drift because of a change of temperature, for example, and also because of the Doppler effect. If I'm considering a low Earth orbit satellite, the distance between the satellite and the ground will change very quickly. And can I achieve like plus or minus 5 gigahertz, which is huge in my phase here, and that I will have to compensate. And finally, there is a random amplitude fluctuation due to the atmospheric turbulence. And I will translate this term on a coupling, which is the overlap of the complex field of the local oscillator and on the received field. And I take the square modulus, and here it will be the coupling of the two field of received field and local oscillator. And to go a bit further for this term, I will present just the slide just after. So here it's what I use, the model I used for my PhD. It's an incoming plane wave from the satellite. After this wave goes through atmospheric turbulence, and on the receiver, I have a turbulent wavefront. And if I couple this turbulent wavefront with a local oscillator, which can be approximated by a quotient mode, we can see that if we couple this field with this complex field here represented by amplitude and the phase, it will not go very well. But if I had an adaptive optic system with the classic element, deformable mirror, reference sensor, and momentum controller, here I can reduce the phase fluctuation. And if I calculate the square modulus of this overlap integral, I can here observe the red signal. So the red signal is a temporal series of coupled flux I obtain after AO correction. On the blue, there is no AO correction. And we can see two effects. The first one is that we have a higher average flux, and also we reduce the amplitude of the fluctuation. And if I take the argument to the angle of this overlap integral, we can define what I call the turbulent phase noise, which is this time series, and we can see fluctuation around like a dozen of radians. here, the message for you have to remember for what I will talk after is that here the adaptive optics is essential to reduce the amplitude dynamics. So back to my system. On my PhD, I focus especially on this part, on the digital signal processing part. And I will translate all the perturbation on this digital signal processing part. So I'm back to this constellation where I send 0 and 1. So here it's digital, so it is discretized. If I have detection noise and phase noise, the point will fluctuate in amplitude and a little bit in phase. So here it's still possible to see what is a 0, what is a 1. But if I have a frequency mismatch, and here I made an hypothesis, I made the hypothesis that it's possible to reduce this frequency mismatch to 100 megahertz. So why? It's because we know approximately where is a satellite to do the communication. So we know a bit about the trajectory. So we can calculate what will be the Doppler effect, and we can reduce it before going inside this digital signal processing part. And the effect of this frequency mismatch will be to turn the point around the constellation and turn that much so that now it's not more possible to discriminate the 0 and the 1. And because it's not fun enough, we also have random amplitude fluctuation due to the atmospheric turbulence, and it will put the point inside the constellation. So the problem here is, okay, how can we accurately synchronize the phase of the signal in presence of this random amplitude fluctuation, in presence of turbulence? So a bit about the state of the art. I will go very fast on that. There is techniques for intersatellite because there is already current intersatellite links. They are using phase lock loop approach or closed loop approaches. And some preliminary research are working on open loop approaches. For fiber optic, all the ground network for internet, it's open loop method. But for both these applications, there is no atmospheric turbulence. And for satellite to ground, there is preliminary work on phase lock loop and open loop, but both of this work are very preliminary and without going into the details on the impact of turbulence on the method. So this was the subject of my PhD, to investigate both method and to do a detailed study in realistic condition on space ground link. So this is the outline of my presentation. I spent some time on the introduction to put some reminder, but I will present you the phase lock loop method, the open loop method, and some telecom performance for satellite ground links. So first about the phase lock loop method. So I will not go very into the detail on how I design I design it. I don't know why it appeared, but okay. Everything is on a paper published in 2020 and on my manuscript. I just want you to know that a phase lock loop is a system to accurately synchronize the phase and frequency between two signals so as to minimize the residual error. The basic structure is like this, with three main elements: a phase detector, which will calculate the phase error to compensate, a loop filter, and a numerically controlled oscillator. What you have to remember is that it's a feedback loop. Her little name is a Costas loop. It's all digital, and it makes a two step in one. It makes the frequency and the phase synchronization in only one loop. So I will not present the design, but it was a trade-off between noise sensitivity and convergence speed. And to give you a bit of feeling on how it will work in presence of turbulence, I represent here the accuracy in radians squared. So the mean square error of the phase at the output of my phase lock loop. with on the x-axis the signal to noise ratio. So this curve is a bit tricky because here what you have to focus on the red line. The red line is a theoretical limit, and the blue line is what I obtained with my end-to-end simulation. And what we can see is that, okay, there is this limit here, where before this signal to noise ratio, the loop is unstable. It's unlocked. Here it's completely, it's not working at a low signal to noise ratio. And after that, okay, it reaches a theoretical limit, but it's normal. It's what we can expect of this phase lock loop. So here, this phase lock loop is designed to work with a constant signal to noise ratio. Here, I can work at 10 dB signal to noise ratio. But what happens with turbulence? If I add some coupled flux with fluctuation, if I add some coupled flux with an adaptive optic system, I can work at 10 dB an average, but locally we will have fluctuation around this, this 10 dB. And if we are close to this point, we will sometime go to the unstable place and the loop will be unlocked and we will lose the synchronization. And so here we will have this unstable part go a little bit to the right to higher signal to noise ratio. But what I show in my manuscript is that, okay, it's the limit shift, but at the end, the performances after are still the same as the theoretical limit without amplitude fluctuation. But, and if we compare to the case without adaptive optics, so the blue curve, we will have like stronger fluctuation and it will go more into the unstable place. And here we have no more synchronization at our point of 10 dB. It's always unstable. So we need this adaptive optics system to make the synchronization work. So now go to the open loop method very quickly. So here I will do two steps, one for the frequency and one of the phase. And a trick we use here is to know that if we take the square of our modulation, the one here will go to the zero and we will erase the impact of the modulation. And by erasing the impact of the modulation, just to calculate the frequency shift and the phase shift, we can say, okay, we have to achieve zero frequency and phase and subtract it to the signal to achieve the synchronization. So these two methods that I described here are massively used for fiber network. So I didn't I just apply this method to my application. So the first one is doing a discrete Fourier transform to estimate the frequency. And it was the goal, it was to calculate the size of the observation window to calculate this Fourier transform. And the second one, it's a Viterbi-Viterbi algorithm, will only take the argument of the angle of the signal after doing the square to recover the phase error. So for the same reason, we have to choose a size of observation window to calculate this angle. So it's a bit quick, but I have no time to tell you more about that. Just for you to know, to design this, I had to do a trade-off between estimation accuracy, robustness against noise, and the ability to track the frequency and the phase fluctuation. Because if we take a large observation window, we have the risk of losing the track of the frequency. But if we take a small observation window, we are losing in estimation accuracy. So it was a trade-off between the two. And now for the most interesting part is the telecom performance. So I will study downlink, so a link from a satellite to the ground receiver. The satellite is the LEO, so low Earth orbit satellite. We're going to pass very fast in the sky in the infrared with a telescope of 50 centimeters and on the ground. So it's only simulation. on the ground, I use an AO system of 12 radar with 12 radar orders and a sampling frequency of 5 kilohertz. And I will study two scenarios. A scenario A, which is the scenario where which I designed the AO system, where I reduce the fluctuation of the signal here, and the B scenario, which where I using the same AO system, but the turbulence conditions are a bit stronger. So it's a bit more difficult case where the fluctuations are close to an 18 dB. So this scenario, I will look at the telecom performance with these two scenarios. And so I take back my whole chain, my whole end-to-end chain, and I put the phase lock loop and I compare with the open loop approach. So I'm adding all my ingredients, the laser, the detection noise, which will be the shot noise. So I add a Gaussian noise. For the laser phase noise, I take a laser line width of 200 kilohertz and a turbulent phase noise. So here, if I compare the two, we can see that, so here I put the same timeline, it's the same time for the turbulent phase noise and the laser phase noise. It's on 100 milliseconds. And we can see that the turbulence phase noise is really, really slow compared to the laser phase noise. And for synchronization, it means that this turbulence phase noise will have a very, very negligible impact compared to the laser phase noise. For the frequency mismatch, as I told you before, after coarse frequency estimation, I consider that I have 100 MHz to compensate. And for the random amplitude fluctuation, I consider my two scenarios, the scenario A and the scenario B. I will use the metric of the bit error rate. So the bit error rate is when I send 0 and 1, I receive sometimes errors here in red. And the bit error rate is the number of errors, so the red point here, over the total number of bits. So here it's a bit error rate log, so it's a log scale as a function of the signal to noise ratio. And it means that with high signal to noise ratio, I have a small number of errors, and at a low signal to noise ratio, I have larger number of errors. And here, this is the theoretical ideal limit if I have only additive Gaussian noise, but I have all my ingredients that I will add. So first ingredient, I add random amplitude fluctuation on the A scenario. So the black line is my ideal case, and the blue one is when I add the fluctuation in amplitude. We can see that there is a difference. Here, at 10⁻⁴ is less than 1 dB. And if now I add the phase noise and the frequency mismatch with open loop in green and in red the phase lock loop, I can see that, okay, I add some frequency and phase errors, but with the two systems of synchronization, the curve are superimposing with the curve with only random amplitude fluctuation, which means that, okay, the system is able to compensate the phase and the frequency mismatch, and it's only a matter of reducing the amplitude fluctuation. And now if I look at the second scenario, scenario B, with stronger amplitude fluctuation, the difference between the two curves is higher, is close to 4 dB. And now if I do the same, if I add the phase noise and the frequency mismatch, we see that the curves are superimposing. And so it's the same thing. It's only the residual amplitude fluctuation that change the performance. So here, if I compare both, so I highlight the fact of the importance of well-designed AO correction to reduce the number of errors at the receiver. And so at the conclusion, first, yeah, it's possible. It's possible to design an architecture of a receiver to correctly synchronize the phase and the frequency, so to do coherent reception. coherent detection for satellite to ground links. The signal to noise ratio penalty is only due to the residual amplitude fluctuation. And it's important to well design the adaptive optic system. And also one result it is that the impact of the turbulent phase noise is negligible, but we need to investigate what happened in stronger turbulent condition, because here the turbulent phase noise in my case was mainly piston, but what happened in stronger turbulent condition at low elevation, I don't really know. And what is really cool is that we can transpose this approach to this methodology to higher order modulation format, such as a QPSK or other complex format of modulation. And also we can think about, okay, there is only this residual amplitude fluctuation. So maybe we can change the way of doing AO for telecommunication to adapt the control. So there is some PSG thesis around that. And also we can think about co-design with the digital signals processing step, maybe changing the design of the AO only on the fluctuation on the phase of the pupil, but focusing on improving the coupled flux or any parameters useful for the telecom application, so to recover all the data. And that's all for me. Thank you, everyone, for your attention.
Thank you very much, Laurie. Is there any question on the people? You can either like unmute yourself or just type it in the chat if you want.
Maybe Maxime, yes, you have one. So Laurie, sorry, I'm not too much used with telecommunication. So you say you have this phase lock algorithm,
mm-hmm.
and but your information is encoded on the phase.
Yeah.
So how do you lock on something that has this high jumps of phase? Is this, I didn't understand.
Yeah, the trick is that on the phase detector, we use an operation that will delete the impact of the modulation.
Okay.
So here it's the same like for the open loop. We take the squared, and by taking the squared of that, we no more have the impact of the zero and the one. And after we can calculate the frequency and the phase error.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, it makes sense.
Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question, Laurie. Mm-hmm. Did you have time to test all your simulation on Sky, like experimental work?
Yeah, not at all. Because mainly there is no coherent signal in the sky. There is no phase signal sent. And also because there is not that much ground station to receive this kind of signal, but it exists. The German already made some coherent links, but on the literature, there is a very small things about what they did and how it works and how they did it and the result.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that it will be done next year with or the years after. And there are a lot of industrials that are working on this kind of system, mainly the open loop approach, which is closer to the fiber optic networks. And so all the elements are already used and commercially sale, so it's easier. So they will try on Sky this kind of method.
Okay, thank you.
All right, if there is no more question, I think we can thanks again, Laurie, for our presentation, and the time already passed. So thank you very much, Laurie, and everyone that has been present on the Zoom. Next week, there will be another GRD meeting, GRD seminar, sorry. So please book your schedule at 2 p.m. next Thursday.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, come. It was very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.